All right. So in Genesis, I want to pray first, and then we're going to get going. It's going to be a little bit longer teaching tonight. Just, I think it needs to be taught. And Father, we just thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for all you've done. And we thank you for what you're doing. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. There's a word that Jerry and I was talking last night. We were coming home from an event we went to. And we were talking about different things. And he brought up the word twisted. And sometimes, and what popped in my head was the old group Twisted Sisters.
Yeah.
I'm not advocating to go listen to them, okay? It's been a long time since I listened to them. But there's something about the word twisted. You ever said something? Somebody's all of a sudden it's not what you said? And what they hear is different. Do you know something that originated back in the garden? Genesis chapter 3. Where Adam got a word from God. Do not eat that tree. And so then Eve came in. And be careful what you entertain, because what you entertain will twist your words or words of God. Because if you're listening to news, if it's bent to the left or right, there is no center news anymore. It's either to the left or to the right. Because they always slant to the way they want you to think. And it's been that way since the beginning. So here comes a four, we don't know how many feet it has, but here comes an animal, a snake, a serpent that has feet at the time, comes, and the animal starts talking to Eve. Many scholars believe animals used to talk and humans used to be able to understand them.
Really?
That's the reason why she wasn't freaked out when this animal started speaking to her.
Interesting. Never heard that before.
Yeah. It's a theory. No, I'm not going to say it's biblical or whatnot, but that's one of the scholars, many scholars say that. And so that's the reason why she did not freak out. Before you got saved, you remember how you had voices going through your head to do stupid things? Maybe even after you got saved. Because you're used to those voices. But you have to replace those voices. And so Satan comes along and asks Eve. He didn't ask Adam. We assume that Adam told Eve, don't touch that tree, or don't eat from that tree. What does Satan do? He comes in. Did God, first of all, did God actually say that? Second of all, Eve repeated back, we can't even touch that tree. God never told Adam he couldn't touch the tree, just don't eat from the tree.
And she added to what he said.
See, the thing about it, there's a spirit, I believe, that will love to twist what you said. And what comes from the pulpit into people's ears. There's been times I preached, and then sometimes it's twisted for the godly kingdom. God wants you to hear certain things. But many times, because you'll say something to encourage somebody, it's not really encouraging to them. Because the thing about it, what is the definition of the word you just said for each word you use? Because there's words I used growing up, I didn't think they were wrong. But I found out at Bible college, they weren't pretty. I got chastised for using words I thought was not swear words. I won't mention them because it doesn't really matter. And so they go, that word means X, Y, Z. I go, that's not the way I meant it. See, when I speak, sometimes we have to backtrack and say, this is what I mean. You ever have to use the word clarify? I love that word. Can we clarify what you just said? Because what I heard is not what you, I don't think what you meant. And there's words that I grew up using, and they were fine for that season. But now if I use those words in this culture that we have today, I would be, I don't know where I'd be. And a lot of words I don't think are wrong, but in society they believe they're wrong. And so a twisting of the word we're going to deal with tonight. We're going to pray against that thing. Because there's been many people who have been in this church. They heard the truth. And all of a sudden, here comes Satan. That's not what Pastor meant. He actually means that you're useless. I never said that. Or people will hear, hey, you know something, God's on your side and all these cool things. And what they're hearing is like, no, he isn't, because I have all this bad stuff going in my life. Or you talk to somebody and say, hey, you know something, can you just straighten, not make that stupid decision anymore? And they're saying, he just called me stupid. No, your decisions are stupid. You're not stupid, just what you're choosing to. Your actions are not mounting to what you're saying who you are. And so, as I was praying and preparing for today, and I was like, Lord, let me communicate this, because Satan will take everything and loves to twist. He even did that with Jesus. When Jesus was going into the wilderness for 40 days, to be honest with you, I don't know if Jesus knew he was going to be in the wilderness for 40 days. See, when I started fasting at the beginning of the year, I had to go 21 days. I didn't know I was going to end up doing an extra few days. But sometimes when you start doing the things God asks you to do, sometimes it takes longer. And all of a sudden, here comes Satan. Does God really say that you're an overcomer? Did God actually say that you're healed? I think that preacher is just blowing smoke at you. I think he's on something. He just thinks everything should be hunky-dory. Why not? I serve a God who takes care of me. But that's not reality, Pastor. I get that. But can we not still proclaim the goodness of God in our lives? Can't we still proclaim what God's doing and it's great and mighty? And have you ever prayed a great and mighty prayer? Then you come out of your prayer time and all of a sudden you get lambasted by these words from Satan. God's not going to fulfill that. Wishful thinking. He twists those words or those type of things. Because this church, we have heard great words come forth about how God's going to use it and how God's moving. I'm telling you, God's moving greatly right now. We don't have to wait because he's moving. Wow. People will hear that. Look at the crowd. They're not in revival. They're too small. No, revival is when people start changing their lives to get closer to God. You can have a personal revival while the world's going to hell in a handbasket, as they would say. But that revival doesn't stay here. It goes out with you. And so the first time, the twisting of the words goes back to Adam and Eve, where the serpent said, did he really say that? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden. Of course. course you can do that. He'll use it and starts twisting it. But what about that one? And he always makes you look at things that are not true. Satan is a father of lies. He never spoke a truth in his life. He's the father originated lies. So you, and you know the old saying, liar, liar, pants on fire? His, more than his pants are on fire. All right? And so the word twisted often conveys the idea of a moral or spiritual distortion. Deviation from God's intended path. Or corruption of truth. The Hebrew word often associated with twisted, which means to bend or twist or distort. This term is frequently used to describe iniquity or sin, indicating a deviation from righteousness. I have, lovely as I could, told people or encouraged them as gentle as I can, and they take it as a slap in the face. Because what happens is that what they hear is not what they want to hear. And they'll twist it. Pastor doesn't like me. I never said I didn't like him. I like people. I like to slap some, but I still like them. But the thing about it, they hear something that is not totally true. Or if it's totally true, Satan will come along and say, guess what? This is what he meant. He really meant that you're a scumbag because you live this lifestyle. No, I never said you're a scumbag. Your lifestyle is not pleasing to God. I might say that to somebody who I get to know. And they'll take it like, he doesn't like me because he doesn't like my lifestyle. He thinks I'm this or that. No. The thing about it is that the devil loves come and twist the truth. See, and, yes?
I just wanted to bring up about Tony. That's kind of what happened with her and you. For whatever reason, she come up one time she was here at church, she come up and you prayed for her.
Yeah.
And then next time she didn't want to go up because she thought you looked at her like she was evil.
I look at everybody weird.
But that's a good example of that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I never said that.
No.
I never perceived that. But the thing about it, she received that because there was something that maybe had been said that was truthful. Mm-hmm. And I say things out of love. Sometimes it's really harsh. And I don't mean to be harsh, but you ever heard the saying, don't put, why is the bull in the china cabinet or the china shop? Why complain about the bull in there? Get the bull out of there. He won't break any more china. But with that, in 1 Kings 22:10 and following, this is a very interesting story, event. Life happening. 1 Kings 22:10. I want to read it because it will make sense. King Ahab of Israel, the king of Jehoshaphat of Judah, dressed in their royal robes, were sitting on thrones at the threshing floor. near the gate of Samaria. All Ahab's prophets were prophesying there in front of them. One of them, Zedekiah, son of Kenaan, made some iron horns and proclaimed, "This is what the Lord says: with these horns, you will gourd the Arameans to death." Verse 12. All the other prophets agreed. Yes, they said, "Go up to Ramoth Gilead and be victorious, for the Lord will give the king victory." Meanwhile, a messenger who went to get Micah said to him, "Look, at all the prophets are promising victory for the king. Be sure that you agree with them and promise success." So this prophet is not a prophet of Baal. This is a man of God who's a prophet from God. Okay, and now they're saying, you better line up with these other prophets to proclaim something good. Verse 14. Now, Micah replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will say only what the Lord tells me."
Think about that. That's when prophets get themselves in trouble.
And then, verse 15, when Micah arrived before King Ahab, asked him, "Hey, Micah, should we go to war against Ramoth Gilead, or should we hold back?" His reply, sarcastically. I love the New Living Translation, because I know how sarcastically people can be. And he replies sarcastically. "Yes, go up and be victorious, for the Lord will give you the king's victory." In other words, he goes, "Yeah, go up." You know, he's just saying it sarcastically. "Yeah, just you'll have a great victory. You know, sure you will. I bet you will get good victory." And they knew he was saying it sarcastically. But the king replied sharply, "How many times must I demand that you speak only the truth to me when you speak for the Lord?" Now the king. King Ahab is not a godly king. Remember, his wife is Jezebel. She's a wicked witch who's full of Baal. She's not an Israelite. She's not supposed to be the queen. He married somebody outside the whole country. So this king, who's not a godly king, is telling a prophet how he should speak on behalf of God. That's very dangerous territory. Verse 17. Then he told the king, "In a vision, I saw all Israel scattered on the mountains like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, 'Their master has been killed. Send them home in peace.'" In other words, the Lord showed him, "You guys are going to die and the people will go off." "Didn't I tell you," the king of Israel exclaimed to Jehoshaphat, "he never prophesies anything but trouble for me." Think about it. When you're a wicked king and you're asking for godly counsel, it's not always positive. Sometimes the prophet speaks the truth and it's like, "Well, I'm not going to receive that. That's not what I want. I want $1 million in my bank account." And the king's getting upset because he's upset with the prophet because he's already sarcastically responded to him once. Now he told him the truth. Now he's upset with the truth.
But was King Ahab then going to be the victor? No.
No. Nope.
Because it says, "I saw all Israel scattered on the hills."
Yes, because King Ahab was the king of Israel. And they were without.
You're right. Yeah. Okay.
No, it's okay. Good questions.
Okay.
And then, He continued, listen to what the Lord says. This is the prophet speaking. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the armies of heaven around him, on his right and on his left. And the Lord says, who can entice Ahab to go into battle against Ramoth-Gilead so he can be killed? Because God's plan still has to be fulfilled. There were many suggestions, verse 21 now, and finally a spirit approached the Lord and said, I can do it. This is not one of God's armies. Okay, this is an evil spirit. This is one, maybe one of the fallen angels. We don't know. We just know it's a spirit that comes. And now we're going to see how he does it. This is the reason why we're reading the whole thing, because of this point right here. He goes, there were many suggestions, and finally a spirit approached the Lord and said, I can do it. Verse 22. How will you do this? The Lord asked. The spirit replied, I will go out and inspire all Ahab's prophets to speak lies. And this is what the Lord says. You will succeed. Go ahead and do it. So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all you prophets, for the Lord has pronounced your doom. And then Zedekiah, son of Kenaniah, walked up to him and slapped him across the face and said, since when did the spirit of the Lord leave me to speak to you? He demanded.
The Lord put the lies in the evil spirits.
He allowed this spirit to tell lies.
But that was the evil spirit.
Yes.
It belonged to the father of lies.
Yes.
So Zedekiah, he wasn't a true prophet then.
Correct. He was a prophet of Baal.
Okay.
And so the thing about it, there's a spirit of lying that will come in and twist words. And when somebody lies, there's a spirit that's over them or in them that's influencing their lies. And they will always twist the truth. There's a every lie, there's a spot of truth.
Yep.
But there's always a twisting of that truth. And so when this spirit came upon these prophets, remember, as I was telling Roger earlier, every spirit needs a place to dwell. It could be in a thing, or it needs to be in a person. It has to dwell in a object, person, place, or thing. And so when that spirit's dwelling there, and he comes upon them, and tells them to prophesy lies. And now this prophet, false prophet, a prophet of Baal, goes up to him, slaps the man of God, and says, when did God stop speaking through me and only speak through you? See, there's a battle where the world will tell you, you have to. Especially when a man or a woman of God gives you a word or gives you something, gives you the truth. And all of a sudden, there will be people around you who says, you don't have to do X, Y, Z. You can still live your life how you want and still be a Christian. Because God understands. And I'm telling you right now, when that lying spirit comes upon it, he'll always twist the truth so it can hurt you, so you don't come into fellowship with true believers. Not to pick on you, Jerry, but how often between the first time you got set free to this last time that you'll never have to get set free again, how many times did that spirit come in and say, don't call pastor, don't reach out to him, because he's a bunch of lies. How many times?
Every time.
Why? Because he knew the truth and he did not want you to be set free.
Oh,
that's right. And the cool thing about the last time, there's Gary goes, there's more. Take care of it. That man's ears will be popping open soon.
Ears?
Yes. Because he's hearing more clearly from the Holy Spirit than he has ever had in an entire life. Has he not, Jeannie? In the last 6 months, he's able to hear more clearly the things of God, about God, in the spiritual realm than any other time in his entire life. And now, what has manifested in the spiritual realm has to come into the natural. And I guarantee you, he has fought off many lies that would almost want to pull him out of this place because of what God is about to do. And the devil says, don't. And he'd be to him, well, if you tell me don't, I'm doing it double fold. Am I correct? And so the thing about it, it's twisting the truth. I have so much other stuff here, but it's already 6:40. But
it sounds like a Sunday service too.
Yeah, I know. But I wanted the ideal of twisting is associated. Proverbs 2:15 talks about that, and then Romans 1:25 talks about it. And the concept of twisting is evident in warning and false teaching and in doctrine. 2 Peter and in the book of Acts, they were preaching in Acts 13, and this Paul had to confront Eli Mace, the sorcerer, because it was going around falsifying who they were, and he had to approach them and said, get behind me. And remember how Jesus told Peter, get behind me, because he was not telling the truth. And Jesus says, you have to get behind me because you're a lie. That's a lie. Lies need to get behind us. And we're going to pray against this twisting spirit. And we're going to declare every twisting spirit that has been over Living Water Church or whatever name it we've had in the last 100 years that must be broken off tonight. And I believe that's the last battle we'll have to face. Because, you know something? I have always preached the truth. I will always preach the truth. And liars hate the truth. And that thing's a liar. And his pants are on fire. So, next time you hear something, and the thing about it, this will be the last thing I want to talk about. And then we'll get Jerry up here to lead worship. And then we're going to enter into, I want you to just keep playing the guitar for a while after you get done singing, as we start praying. I just think that's going to be powerful. Be careful that you only get part of the story when people tell you the story. Be careful. Get the whole story. Or try to get the whole story. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Because a partial story is a lie. That's the reason why in front of a judge, you have two people telling the story of the same situation. Guess what? You can have 10 people watch the same situation. Now how many different versions you're going to have? 10. Because the truth is what you see. Not on TV anymore. Not what's recorded. And the truth is not just the last 5 seconds of an event. The truth is the whole thing. What's the whole story? Not the part where I'm the victim. The lies will always, the twisted truth will always make you the victim. Be careful not take the victimhood with lies. Even when someone tells you the truth, hey, can you dress up a little bit nicer? Hey, can you do your hair a little bit nicer?
That's pretty good.
You know? Hey, you have bedhead. Can you comb before you come to church or whatever? I'm just picking on hair. I'm not trying to point anybody out, okay? All right, Dean? I'm not picking on your hair.
No.
But the thing about it, if somebody's just want to come along and encourage you, hey, here's a hairbrush, or here's deodorant, or whatever, and the devil will come to us, look, they think you're not good enough. That's not the truth. They're just trying to make you better. And so, there's more to this than we know, and we don't wrestle against people, remember that.
You might have to do a series on this.
Well, yeah, we'll have to dig deeper. Yes, Jerry.
I had this kind of a situation happen to me just today. I was in at the dollar store, and this guy came in, and he was pretty rough looking. I mean, pretty bad.
Yeah.
And my mind instantly, this voice said, you stay away from him. You know,
yeah.
That guy's probably dangerous, you just stay away from him. Well, when I got up behind him in to check out, the Holy Spirit just kicked me. I mean, why are you thinking that? Be nice to him, say hi to him.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, those things just pop out of nowhere.
They do. Mm-hmm. And they twist because he's created in the image of God. And we get to love them right where they're at.
Yeah.
Which is sometimes the hardest thing to do. Because we just want to smile. So, I think we're going to end there for tonight. We might delve into it more next week. We'll see what the Holy Spirit leads. Any prayer requests tonight? Anybody?
Miss Phoebe.
Who?
Miss Phoebe.
Phoebe? All right. Denise?
I just don't feel great.
All right.
I think it doesn't want to quit. I've been feeling not great for several weeks. I want to be done.
Do you have my
I just feel that you too. I'm off there.